Hey, it's Melissa Moore. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. I always introduce him as my favorite guest, but just also one of my favorite people, Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist and also founder of the Chronic Hope Institute. Hi, Kevin.
Well, hey there, Melissa. How you doing?
I am doing well. All right, my friend, we've got the holidays upon us. And although a lot of people are like, "Ooh, it's the happiest time of the year," it's also some ways the most stressful time of the year. So I want to talk to you about how do we keep our sanity? How do we stay healthy? How do we have boundaries? All of that good stuff, Kevin.
Oh, I have no idea.
That's not what I want to hear.
So I know, right? I mean, it's true. I mean, the first thing you said is how do we stay healthy? You know, the thing with the holidays is I think there's a lot of this sort of forced, you're supposed to be having a great time. Everything's supposed to be wonderful and everything's supposed to be awesome. And, you know, like you almost get this sense of like if you're not walking in with a big smile on your face 24/7, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
And you know, the thing about the holidays is, and I mean, this is for me, I experienced this, you know, my mom died 9 years ago. My dad died 2 years ago. So the holidays are fun, you know, we get to spend some time and have fun and get presents and stuff, but it's also kind of sad because I miss my family,
yeah.
You know, and it's okay to have both feelings, you know, I think that's the number one thing I would get across in the mental health territory is don't feel like there's all this pressure for you to be one of Santa's elves bouncing around with big smiles on your face. You know, it's okay for you to have fun and to be, you know, sad for who's not there anymore.
I feel like that is such a message for mental health overall, and especially during the holidays, is that you can feel and be more than one thing.
Oh, God, it's so critical. I think, especially in the age and in the current age of social media and everything that we see in front of us, of everyone's having a great time, everyone looks great, everyone's got tons of money, everyone's happy,
right?
And it's like, but not me, and I must be a loser, and that's just not the case. You know, I think you always have to remember that the stuff that you're seeing in front of you is being projected as an image.
Right.
And that's not the real truth. The real truth is that everyone has a complex mix and mash of emotions and feelings and situations, and we all have different things going on. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with any of it.
Yeah, and I know you and I've talked before about how social media is such a highlight reel. You know, we don't go on there and you don't see somebody and what they go through every day, every hour, what their struggles may be. You only see what they choose to share, and most of us choose to share the highlights.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, that's just kind of that's how it is. That's what people always want to project, the cool stuff and the fun stuff. And so it's always just important to remember that that's just one piece of the puzzle. It's
right.
Not the entire thing. And so that's the mental health part, you know, and I think the other thing to be really super aware about during the holidays is this is when people's emotions really tend to spike. And in my world, which I specialize in, you know, substance abuse worlds and families, this is a time when people tend things tend to get out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important to, you know, one, for yourself, if you're struggling with substance abuse or anything along those lines, it's a time to sort of check yourself and make sure you're okay and realize that, you know, that's not going to help you feel better. It's not going to get you where you want to be. And maybe it's time to see a therapist, or maybe it's time to reach out to a spiritual person or something along those lines and take care of yourself. The most important thing, the message there is if you feel like you're struggling and you're falling into some depression or some anxiety or some substance issues, ask for help. You don't have to do this alone.
Right. And sometimes that is the hardest part, though, is just kind of getting out of your own way and admitting that I need some help. And then it's kind of like, where do I start? What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the most important thing I would say is if you feel like you want to talk to somebody, oh my gosh, you know, find a therapist to talk to, or, you know, if you belong to a spiritual community, talk to the leader of that community. Maybe they have some ideas, you know. And another thing I always tell people is, are you exercising? Are you getting out, walking, exercising, doing a little yoga, getting some blood flowing through your veins and getting some, you know, sunshine when it's available?
Yes.
But those things are critical because they actually, you know, they create chemical differences in your body that actually make you happy.
Yes.
So
taking a walk around, it's amazing how just going for a walk around the block can just reshape things.
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And that's really important. And then find a friend to take a walk with, or find a friend to go to a yoga class with, or something along those lines. You don't got to do it alone.
Yeah.
You know, reach out and And then the other thing you mentioned, boundaries, you know, so what if you're the one hosting and you're like, oh God, you know, Uncle Fred's going to come over and he's going to get drunk and
right.
that's going to cause a problem, pick a fight or whatever. You know, the most important thing is to let people know ahead of time, hey, this is how we're doing things. You know, these are kind of the rules and regulations. We're having people over at 2:00. Dinner should be over and you should be gone by 6:00, you know, or whatever. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying that and just saying, hey, we're going to limit the drinking or we're not going to have any drinking.
Yeah.
Or if you want to have drinking, drinking's fine. Just, hey, we want everyone to sort of abide by being nice to one another. Let people know ahead of time what the expectations are. And then another really important thing is, you know, I always say, let them be included in the process. If there's something they want to bring
right.
or something that's important to them, let them bring that so they feel like they're part of the deal.
That's great. I think it's interesting that you brought up letting people know when to go home, because I was just talking to my dad or on the phone with my dad, and he's like, oh my gosh, we had a dinner party and they were still there at 10:30. And he's usually in bed by then. So how do you say that before the party? Hey, we're going to wrap things up at this time?
I say, you know, I mean, if I'm having people over, it's like, hey, you know, like we're having dinner here and, you know, we probably will only last a couple of hours. This is kind of, I mean, I'm not shy. I tend to tell people this is when I run out of batteries, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, we go to bed. I mean, I can't believe I'm going to say this. We're such old people. We go to bed at like 8:00.
What? You know? Oh, my gosh. That's hysterical. So dinner parties are at like 2:00 at your house.
Yeah. No. We're early to bed, early to rise. Well, not so early to rise.
That is so funny, but it's so true. As you get older, you're like, hey, I need my sleep. I'm usually in bed right now.
And my sleep and my time to myself.
Yes.
You know? It's like, oh my gosh, I just need to be able to chill out and take it easy and not have to entertain and put on a show.
Yep. It was so funny. I heard this interview with Chelsea Handler, and she talked about how she'll just leave her own party and go upstairs and go to bed.
I saw that. She's like, I'm leaving. Parties, I'm out, but you guys are welcome to stay. Just don't break anything.
So for folks that are struggling or maybe recovered with alcohol or drugs or things like that, holidays you talked about a little bit with the parties can be hard. How do you navigate that if you're somebody who doesn't drink, doesn't want to drink, but yet you want to go and see your friends at a party?
That's a great question. And that's something we all learn, those of us that are in recovery. The thing that I learned early on, actually a friend of mine kind of tutored me in it, someone that was been sober longer than me, was, you know, every time you go to a party, initially when you get there, the first hour or two is just kind of the whole social event and everyone's having a good time, blah, 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 blah. And then at some point during the turn of the evening, the party turns and the people that are there really just to drink a lot, it sort of goes that way.
Yeah.
You know, and what my friend was relating to me is, that's when it's time for you to leave.
Mm.
And it's okay to leave. First of all, nobody's going to notice.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be mad. And nobody's going to feel offended that you walked out.
Yep.
That's your cue to be like, oh, things. It's no longer everybody chilling out, having a nice time, chitty-chatting about their family and their kids. Now it's a bunch of people behaving like knuckleheads. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my cue. I'm out.
Mm.
You know? And they won't remember that you left, so don't worry about it.
Right. You know? And you're just removing yourself from that situation and what could be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing, too, is when I started doing that, and this is quite some time ago, but when I started doing that, I started noticing other people were leaving, too.
Yes.
You know? And they were like, hey, what you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm kind of done. This is kind of not my scene anymore. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Do you want to go get dinner or do you want to go get some coffee or do you want to go hang out? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good.
Yep.
So you're not the only one.
Yeah, and I think that's a good reminder, too, is that, number one, you can leave when you want to leave, and you don't have to stay there and be in a situation that maybe makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, and that's just all about you setting your own personal boundaries and saying, hey, you know, I really appreciate the invitation. I'm going to come. I'm going to hang out. But when I feel things turn, that's when I'm going to be like, hey, thanks a lot. Have a nice evening. Talk to you later.
Another difficult situation with the holidays are those awkward conversations that sometimes happen at dinner, at Christmas, with people who haven't been together for a while. I mean, how do you handle that kind of family stress when maybe the dynamics is stressful?
You know, oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. My first thought is, well, don't invite those people. You know, but I guess maybe that's not a possibility. You know, I think everyone kind of has to show up prepared to, I mean, you can't take care of other people. You can't fight other people's battles, right?
So right.
If somebody, let's say if somebody's in the middle of a divorce or somebody's got something going on that's a little uncomfortable, you know, it's maybe talk to them ahead of time and say, hey, you know, I love you. I want to make sure you feel loved and cared for and supported. Is there anything that I can do to help you with this situation? You know, tell me how you want to handle it. How do you want to play it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, families traditionally, they won't ask you. They'll ask somebody else about you.
Of course you know? They will.
Yeah. And so for that scenario, what I always say is, you know what? You need to ask them, not me.
Yep.
You know, and make it really clear. But I mean, you know, obviously let the people who are having a tough time or something along those lines, let them know that this is a safe place for them and that, you know, if they're not feeling comfortable, or they can come to you if you're hosting and say, hey, I'm feeling a little edgy, a little uncomfortable. Can we talk about it? Yeah, sure. Totally. I'm here for you. I'm totally here for you.
I mean, that is like, to me, the biggest thing. Hey, why don't you go ask them how they're doing? Why don't you check in with them?
Oh, yeah, I know. And that's one of those things. And it's really funny because then almost inevitably the person that's asking you about somebody else gets all offended.
Like, oh, my gosh.
You know, and I'm like, look, man, I'm just telling you that the new dynamic here is that if you have a question about someone, I want you to go talk to them, not talk to me about them.
You're so right. Yeah. It is a crazy how they act offended and then you feel bad. You're like, well, wait a minute. I'm not the one that did this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, you know, but what you're doing is breaking a dysfunctional family system cycle, you know, behavior pattern. And the funny part is when you're the person that's actually breaking the negative cycle, you're going to get a lot of negative feedback because you're changing things.
Yes. And you feel like the bad guy.
Yeah. Because people don't like change. They want things to stay the same. They want everything always to be the same. And it's like, yeah, but some things got to change because it's just not healthy.
Right. And I love how you say it so clearly and so easily. But yet, I think a lot of people can relate when you're in the situation, it feels anything but clear and easy.
Yeah. And you just learn that, hey, you know, this is really not the way to go about things. And if we want everyone to feel comfortable at the table and have a good time at the party and feel like they're part of the family, we want everyone to feel loved and cared for and protected. So it's about doing that across the board, not just doing it, you know, and then going back into the old patterns.
And I think something else to note too, and I'm sure you're going to say this, is that it usually isn't just one time that you say this and set a new boundary. It's usually numerous times.
Oh yes, you know, people are, because they're comfortable with that.
Right.
That's how they've always behaved. That's what they've always done. So, you know, they have to be gently reminded, like, oh, yeah, you know what, I really prefer you talk to them, not me.
Right.
You know, and I don't like to talk about people behind their back, and that's really not appropriate. You know, the response is always, well, I didn't want to embarrass them. It's like, oh, so you thought you'd embarrass me?
Right. So great. I'm so glad you made me uncomfortable now.
Yeah. I'm like, no, you're not going to embarrass them. Go talk to them. You
know,
start a conversation with them. Just say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on?
My big thing is, if you don't feel comfortable asking them this question, then maybe it's one you shouldn't be asking.
And that would be the next thing right there. It's like, well, maybe that's one of those things. Because sometimes the answer is, oh, it's really none of your business.
Yes, exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. I mean, I know. I'm always like, how do I phrase this nicely? It's none of your business.
Well, as a friend of mine once told me and taught me that I still feel very strongly about, there's two kinds of business in the world. There's my business and not my business. And you kind of have to remember that there are some times where what you're asking is not your business.
Right.
You know?
Right. Oh, my gosh. Kevin, I just love it. I could just talk to you all morning and just throw out all different situations and just try and solve the world.
You know, happy to do it. You know me. I always love talking to you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist and also founder of Chronic Hope Institute. For people that want to get in touch with you and get more information about what you do or reach out, what do they need to do?
Well, I would say the first thing they should do is go to our website, which is chronichope.us, and they can send me an email there if they want. And then I do have, of course, the social media I was talking about. I have a great social media Instagram account called, it's just Kevin W. Peterson. And you can message me there anytime. I'm happy to point you in the direction of whatever you need. But however you need help, I'm happy to help you out.
Yeah. And I follow you on social media, and he really does get back to you.
Oh, thank you. And then I put a lot of pictures of the dogs.
You do, which is always fun to see. Kevin Peterson, thank you so much for your time today. Have a wonderful holiday season yourself. We sure appreciate you this year. And I'll talk to you again in 2024. It sounds so weird to say that. I'm Melissa Moore. It's Mile High Magazine. Thank you for joining and spending your Sunday here with us. For more information, just go to the radio station's website. Go out, have a great Sunday, be blessed, and remember to be kind to everyone. I'll see you back here next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.